Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at Win and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app or visit WYNNbet.com and start winning today. And we're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, and now you can win cold, hard cash with their over-under game. Just head over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And, of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, D-Gens, welcome back. It's been a minute. I feel like we haven't talked in forever, man. And we're here for the Canadian Open. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, how you feeling, babe?
I'm doing okay. I apologize to the listeners that I did not put out a preview show last night. I let the weekend just get completely away from me. Did not really have a free minute for anything. Did end up getting into my preview column until about 7:30 last night. Crammed in some research. I got a couple little nuggets I can share with you guys tonight, just a little Cliff Notes version. But, new golf course, well, newish golf course newish. With a dog shit field. This should be very interesting this week.
It should be, I guess. I don't know, man. Like
that was sarcasm.
I mean,
as interesting as my picks are going to be very dicey.
Yeah, everything's going to be fucking dicey in here. I mean, I guess it'll be interesting, I guess, to see like what these top guys are going to do before the U.S. Open next week, right? Like who's in it to, you know, tighten that game up, who's out there actually trying to win, and it's never good to try to play armchair psychologist. But yeah, it's gonna be fucking interesting. That's for damn sure.
I mean, I think the one benefit of looking at least at St. George's is there's a little more comparison, I think, between this golf course and what they'll see at Brookline, which I'll talk about in a little bit, compared to everybody just lining up TPC Craig Ranch and trying to take things away from that, going to Southern Hills, which I did not feel like there was any correlation. Like, I literally did not give a shit about what happened at that tournament. So this week, though, I think, like, for example, hole number 4 at St. George's is almost a photocopy of – it's very close to what number 10 is at Brookline. Like, very similar concepts. Like, very quirky, some blind shots – some awkward tee shots too. Like, it's not just all like really straightforward. Some thickish rough as well. I wish there were more guys in this field that were actually decent. Cause I think anybody playing this week is actually going to have a little bit of an edge, for next week.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right. You got any thoughts on, all the live news breaking today?
Besides all the money being thrown around, basically, did Phil get an oil field yet in his agreement?
I mean, it could be a rider, like, you know how like some of the divas want like only green M&Ms in the bowl. Like, there might be a rider coming that we don't know about. But $200 million straight cash, homie, for fucking, that's it. Like, he doesn't have to do anything else. Just show the fuck up. $200 million. He got $75 million more than Dustin Johnson. That's fucking insane.
That is insanity. I mean, I guess I get it because, like, Phil is, like, probably look at the PIP rankings. He's the second most popular golfer on the PGA Tour, so yeah. You would assume second most popular golfer on the planet.
Yeah.
Man, 200 fucking million.
$200 million. I mean, I don't know how – I mean, listen, we've talked about it a little bit. Like, I don't know. I get why the guys are doing it. I don't understand why more guys aren't doing it. You know, putting aside the morality issue of it, however you feel about the Saudi government, obviously they do dirty shit and they're, you know, it's not a great look. But at the same point, I haven't deep dived on this yet. But it's more, they're trying to like build a portfolio of sports, it looks like, and trying to do a whole bunch of other stuff too. So look, it is what it is. They're throwing a shit ton of money at it. And listen, if it brings good golf and actually formulates into something, then whatever, it is what it is. I mean, it's not like our government is a knight in shining armor either, when it comes to certain aspects of it.
So, I mean, I think like high level, like I'm interested in a 54 hole tournament. Like it could be like doing this every single week, Thursday through Sunday. It's a lot, especially like in the summer too. Like my attention span is definitely like, do I really want to watch like the 3M Open on Saturday? Or do I want to go outside and maybe do some yard work or play with the kid, play some golf? Rather would do that. So I like the idea of 54-hole tournament. Plus, I tend to have a lot of 54-hole tournaments. So maybe I'll start hitting more outrights. Right. I like the idea of a team format. But what I have an issue with, though, is like kind of look at like both fields right now. Yeah. Where like, listen, more bigger names are going to end up going to live.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
going
to look – but what's going to happen is we're going to have probably both competing tours where we'll have like 10 to 15 big names at the top, and then just like we see like under 8,000 in DraftKings this week, complete dreck below that. And both tours are going to be like that. And I just sit here saying, can one of them just win out? And I don't want to get into a situation where – I don't want to get into a situation where it was like with IndyCar back in the 90s where two basically identical sports split in half. And one entity had not as good drivers, but they had the Indy 500. So basically they had all the money. The other one had the drivers, but, you know, not the prestige. And eventually the one with the most money ended up winning, the one with the Indy 500. And I think what's going to end up happening is with golf, the players, it's not the golf courses as much as I would want it to be. It's not the golf courses that gets eyeballs. It's the players. Yep. And the players want to get paid the most.
Yep.
So money is going to win. The Saudis are not going to go away because they can just drill an oil well and get more money to pay – I don't know, Terrell Hatton or like Colin Morikawa or like just, I mean, like, Jesus, $200 million to fill?
I don't know.
Yeah. This is nothing to these guys.
Nothing.
So, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. And if the field gets a little stronger, I do like the 54 whole thing, definitely. I don't quite understand the fucking team concept of it yet, but whatever, man. Like, it is what it is.
I don't think they really know either.
Yeah. Like,
because they basically stole the idea from
PGL. Right. So I wish that one was just good.
It's like, have they even announced like who the captains are?
No, I don't think so. They have some super happy hour, I think, at some point fucking this week where it's going.
Is it like when they did the happy hour when they used to do the bracket reveal for the match play?
Oh, probably.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, those are always exciting stuff. I don't know. I mean, look, it is what it is. Fucking Saudi government's corrupt as fuck. There's too much money for guys to ignore. And we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I had to text you earlier. I was like, how the fuck am I even watching this thing? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know where the hell it was going to be at. And so, yeah, YouTube, whatever. I watch all my shit on YouTube TV anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I would like some bigger names to get over there, though. But who knows, man? Maybe some random guy from the Asian tour who never got a shot all of a sudden will look like a stud, and we'll find some new good golfer. Who knows? Who knows? You're on mute.
My apologies. I think Taylor Gooch is probably going to be a top five player on that tour. He's going to be an instant star for the Asian tour. So,
What about his boy? Maybe he can bring his boy Willie Wilcox over there. That'd be nice.
Boys? Are they boys?
Yeah. Yeah, Gooch lived in Wilcox's fucking apartment while he was trying to make the tour.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you never read the fucking story.
I never read that article.
God damn, man. All right. I don't know why I said
you're busy breaking down golf courses, man.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Okay. All right, so why don't we talk about this golf course transition? So, like, you can look at my article as far as, like, I posted a couple of videos on some of the changes that have happened, like a brief description. Basically, I described this golf course, really good piece of land, like rolling hills, lots of undulations, some uneven lies in the fairway, some collection areas where the fairway just kind of canters. You know, if you hit the ball in the wrong spot, it might roll, like, down into the rough. A lot of uphill shots, downhill shots, a lot of awkward approach shots too. Like, it's quirky, kind of like what we're going to see next week at Brookline. That's why I mentioned that. I think, even though I think this is going to play a lot easier than Brookline, I think just general high level concept, like execution, what your goals are and some of the types of shots you're going to see, I think some of these guys have an advantage. So just high level, really small greens, only about 4,000 square feet in area. Only one
super
water.
Super tiny, right? Yeah, super tiny.
Super tiny. And that's actually after a green expansion in 2014, and they're still really small. Damn. So those are done by Tom Doak, who also did Memorial Park. They also converted all the greens from pellet bent grass to bent grass. So use that for your putting stats. But what I really want to talk about, though, is, yeah, I've kind of heard, like, just briefly what some people are starting to say about it. And I hear a lot about, like, oh, you got to keep in a play off the tee and, like, you know, accuracy. Like, kind of try and compare this to, like, TPC Potomac and everything. Well, there was one tournament that is hosting five in its history, and the last time I hosted it was 2010. Now, I know golf has changed a whole lot. But let's kind of go through that leaderboard a little bit and just tell you, like, how these guys were, like, off the tee, like, heading in. So,
Carl. 2010?
Yeah, 2010. So, Carl. I know. All right. But just for example, Carl Pettersson, 140th in driving distance, 128th in driving accuracy. Bob Estes, 138th in driving distance, 139th in driving accuracy. Charlie Wee, 170th in driving accuracy. Greg Chalmers, 182 in driving distance, 145 driving accuracy. So I guess, like, and I think 8 of the 10 guys in the top 10 were outside the top 100 driving accuracy. And listen, I know they've done some work to the place, but I looked at some of the videos. The rough still look pretty deep. Overhead, it's the same layout. So, and like, you look at some of the driving accuracy rates, it was about PGA Tour average back then. Green regulation rates are about PGA Tour average. Like, I don't think this is going to be a TPC Potomac situation, because that was, like, hit with crazy weather. The fairways were a little narrower too. There were a lot more water hazards, and just like, if you were off the fairways, it's a lost ball. And I know there's like trees and stuff, but that also can add a little bit, like, a, you know, be like a bumper. I did not look at off the tee performance at all this week, really. I think this is a quirky golf course where it's kind of like positional. Some of the fairways kind of just bottleneck in where you just like, all right, I just got to hit it before the bunker, and then I'm going to set up like 150, 160 yard approach shot. But I noticed a lot of those guys in 2010, they were pretty shitty for the most part, but for what they were good at, pretty good scramblers, pretty good putters, okay iron players. That's kind of what I looked at this week. Not really focusing off tee. Another thing I want to talk about too is like the 200 yard approach shots. I think you have to keep in mind that even though there's five par threes and four of them are over 200 yards, it's a little different when you put the ball on a tee than versus in the fairway.
Yeah,
it makes it a little easier. So I don't really care all that much about proximity stats from 200 plus, because I think that kind of evens the field out. Okay. So you get a pro, a ball on a tee, they're going to hit it well.
Yeah, me too.
I know. Well, I did find a lot of those guys in 2010, and I think there's going to be a little more, basically a lot of shots under 175. I think it's going to come down to that this week. You're shorter than intermediate irons, because I think everybody's on the same playing field. These are all reachable par fives too. None of them are all that long. A lot of the 200 yard plus shots on the par threes are on a tee. So yeah, I just kind of focus on iron play, scrambling, you know, some bent grass putting, how you hit your short to intermediate irons. You know, listen, I'm just taking a guess. That's my stand, and that kind of formulated with how I picked this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was looking at too. I didn't pay attention to anything off the tee based off your article, and then, like I said, the other podcast that I listened to. All right, just take it off. Like, whatever.
So him and I are on the same page, basically.
Yeah, you guys are on the same page.
Shocking. We actually talked a little bit before.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. He mentioned something about you guys talking. Oh, I think you were the one who told him that the bent grass greens was a complete redo, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah, I did. I found a YouTube video from like 6 years ago where they talked about it.
Of course you did.
I'm good at finding that stuff.
Fucking psycho.
Yeah, okay. I'm good at Google.
My mother is not. My mother is terrible at Google.
That's my secret to everything. Just Googling everything.
Google everything. Yes. I like it.
All right, why don't we take our first break and we'll start breaking down this crappy field.
All right, listen, you guys got to make sure you get down on WinBets. $50 to win a $200 win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you to win $200 in free bets. And now they have the ultimate fantasy football experience. You bet $500 on sports or casino before July 31st. You guys can do that this weekend, tonight, on a game. Come on. Easy. Get entered to win the full ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at the Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Nice. Multiple entries are allowed, and you get also get to party with DJ Diesel. All users can bet $100 on the NBA, put it on the Celtics Game 3, or casino, and be entered in a prize to attend the DJ Diesel, who is Shaq, performing at the Encore Beach Club. at night, as well as a meet and greet with DJ Diesel this summer. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WYNNBET.com to get started. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gaming problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Okay. Let's start breaking down.
DJ Diesel. Yes. Maybe, was that Kazam that he had, remember Kazam? Shaq? You don't remember Kazam?
I remember. That was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the last time he put out a rap album, right? So at least he won't be playing house music. He'll be playing like old school hip hop.
Before the show, to pull back the curtain, I got disgusted that we were talking about 8 Mile and that came out 20 years ago and I felt really depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Super old. We're old.
We're old. Yep.
All right. 10,000 hour range. Listen, like, I'm not going to pick nits with any of these guys. All of them have a lot of strengths of what I'm looking for. Like, especially if I'm throwing out off the tee. Like, all of them are hitting the irons great. All of them are scrambling really good. Like, except for maybe Sam Burns, but he's a adept scrambler in his own right. Most of them are putting really well too. Like, I mean, I guess if you want like a pivot play, I can see Cam Smith. Like, he's drawing the worst ownership. And I mean, we've seen like elite parts of his game the last two times. Like at the PGA Championship, his ball striking was really good. The putting and short game was terrible. Last week, the short game putting was really great. The ball strike was bad. So like he's really close to kind of like putting it all together. So I mean, one of two things is going to happen. He's going to be complete dog shit and like everything's going to be bad or everything's going to just click. But like that, I kind of like Sam Burns this week too. He seems like doesn't have a lot of like conversation, like talk about him. I think everybody's kind of gravitating to like JT, Rory, naturally. Cause like, I mean, like JT tends to do very well, like a week before a major. Rory's a defending champion. There's a lot of similar things, comparison between this place is Hamilton Golf and Country Club. The thing really about Burns though is like he tends to kind of eat up these like target golf, like positional tracks. Like he's just won Colonial. He's won Innisbrook twice. Like he did well at TPC Southwind last year too. Like, yeah. You know, I think it was this like long, like bomber, but like he tends to show really well on some of these like shorter-ish like tracks, the plotter courses a little bit. So I kind of like him this week. And yeah. I mean, listen, all of them are going to be really popular, but that's somebody who I think can keep it rolling coming off the win. And then, I mean, I don't have a fade. Like,
yeah, there's no fade in this category. No. It's pick your guy, make your stand. Don't be an idiot and be like, this guy's gonna, none of these guys up here are going to suck. Listen, right. one of them might bomb out, but like, I'm not.
I guess Lowry, but like, I could also see him doing really well here.
That's my guy.
Okay. No, yeah. I don't hate that at all. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, he played blah at the Memorial, but he was sobled, right? Didn't he say he was sobled? Who was he sobled?
He was Anderkirst.
Whatever. Either way, he still somehow made the cut. He lost strokes off the tee. The guy's a wizard around the green. I can see him doing well here, man. Like this is the type of course, like you said, like target golf. He's great. He's great with his mid to short irons and he's a great bunker player. So give me that coming with all these sand plays. Like whatever, man. Like he's due for a fucking win. The golf gods owe him a win.
I mean, is there any like lineup construction considerations up here? I don't think there is. Cause like, I feel like I get Scheffler at 11-1 and I mean, basically build. Cause I think everybody under like 9,300 bucks is like, you're kind of rolling the dice at this point.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
So I
don't really care about like, if I want to go Scheffler, I feel like I can build a lineup I'm content with as if I start with like Burns.
Yeah. I guess it's just such so dog shit down at the bottom.
Right. But you're going to have to eat dog shit at some point. Like even like under, like we're going to get to it, like under 75, like, for God's sakes, Mark Hubbard's $7,900. Like it gets ugly quick.
Yeah, I know. So like, real I don't quick. Think it matters what like, you do. No, I mean, I don't think you're going to be comfortable with any lineup you build this week.
No, really. So I think just pick your favorite of the top and then just go from there. Like, I think, I mean, all of them are going to be basically pretty popular depending on the contest. I guess Smith is going to be the least popular, but whatever. Yeah, but
like, it's also fucking Monday night and ownership always shifts by Wednesday.
I know, but I mean, just looking at what it is, like everybody above 9,000 bucks is double digits. There is no pivot.
It's because he bombed out on Sunday, but I mean,
okay,
whatever. Who cares? Like, I don't give a shit about that.
All right. Why don't we move on to the 9,000 dollar range? Why don't you kick it off with the, maybe one or two guys you like and one guy you
don't? I don't know what to do in here, man. I don't. Like, I initially went to Finau. I went to Hatton. I don't know what I'm going to do in here. If I'm just being honest, like, I'm not trying to steer anybody wrong. Like, I just don't know what to do in this range. And I'm so uncomfortable with like the low sevens and the sixes. This might be a range I skip over. I know the obvious play is Matty Fitzpatrick, right? Like coming off the miscut and everything fits him and everybody's all over him again. Like obviously great around the green, seventh in ball striking over the last 24 rounds. I just can't get there with 20% Fitzy. Narrative Street Connors, I maybe I'm being stupid, but I think I'm just going to avoid all Canadians this week. Maybe it's too much pressure. I have no fucking idea. What's the history on that? Have any Canadians even won the Canadian Open?
I mean, it hasn't been for a while. I know Mackenzie Hughes did well here a couple of years ago. I know David Hitman Hearn, he did well here. I don't think Connors has really ever done much.
Yeah. I think Hadwin. Like, I'd probably rather play Connors over Hadwin. Yeah. Kirk played well over the weekend and then bombed out on Sunday. Keith Mitchell at 9K seems atrocious.
Yeah, and like his game relies mostly on off the tee.
Yeah, he's been good at ball striking though. He's top 25 in this field in ball striking.
Not with his irons though. His irons haven't been all that great lately.
I mean, that's what ball striking factors in, yeah.
It factors in your off the tee.
Off the tee too, right?
Yes.
So I mean, I don't know. It's
mostly off the tee. Over his last 50 rounds, he's gained 0.7 off the tee and losing 0.02.
Sounds right. I think I'm just gonna go with Finau probably. If like gun to my head on Monday night, I'm just gonna go Finau. Say fuck it. like whatever, man. Like his approach game is still spot on. And if he can take some of the squirreliness from his putting, you know, if it's such small greens that he can actually get up and down, he's okay around the green. Whatever, man. T4 at Charles Schwab. I am completely undecided in this area, though. Completely undecided.
All right. I really like Hatton this week. Okay. That was actually a guy when I first looked at the odds board, I saw his number and I liked it. So let's go back a couple weeks ago, TPC Potomac. I think that one's going to play a lot more difficult what this is going to be, but I think like aesthetically, like just overhead view, similar concepts. He played really well heading into the weekend, just kind of got blown out to sea. And I'm playing really well at the PGA. So this might be an instance. Maybe he's starting to come back a little bit. Like his worst parts of his game has been off the tee. If that's something I'm just not really factoring a whole lot this week. Iron play has been trending up a little bit. Really good around the green, really good putter as well. And I also know, I think he finished second at Congaree last year. Mm-hmm. That was before the U.S. Open. So
that's true.
You know, I mean, like the range of possibilities of, well, I know that he can get up for an event before a major, you know, so why can't he do it again?
Yeah, before he goes and misses the cut again next.
I think Brookline might be a little better.
I think that's a little better than Torrey Pines was last year. Agreed.
Okay.
Definitely a little.
All right. And I guess my favorite, it's Hadwin probably. I mean, super popular, the Canadian narrative. I just, $9,300. I almost think he's priced this way because his ace was on like the TV all weekend too. And like,
if he didn't get that ace, he would have been what, like 30?
He would have been 30.
18th? Yeah, exactly.
He would have been 30th with Jason Day.
Yeah.
So, and like, he was fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I think that's my fave, especially with the popularity. And I like, who do you want to take? Like, would you take Tony Finau, $9,400, or Adam Hadwin, $9,300?
Finau all day, not even close.
Yeah, Finau's a better player.
Yeah, it's not even close. And yeah. I take Muniz for $100 cheaper.
I would take Kirk. It's $200 cheaper too.
I don't know if I trust him. This is another guy I can't get fucking right. I need to make a list of guys like we were talking about that just need to stay off my betting cat and off my DFS shit unless somebody who I trust tells me, hey, this is good. Like, because there's some guys I just have no fucking read on. I think I can get a beat on them, and then they just slap me with a wet sausage in the forehead. Like, every fucking time.
Okay. You got anything else for this range?
No.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a break, and then we'll keep breaking down the ranges.
All right. Listen, you guys already know Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform with millions of players, and you already use it to play fantasy, and I use it for mine. And then now there's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper 2 by playing the new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more of your players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest, and if you pick correctly, you can win anywhere between 2 and 20 times the money you put in. And the main reason I'm excited about the over-under on Sleeper is the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together or root against them. So stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now. for their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. So on your phone, go join our listener group over at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to 100 bucks. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP.
Okay, $8,000 range. I got a couple guys I like down here. So do you want to go first, and then maybe I'll break down?
Yeah, that's fine.
Going to talk about, because yeah. I think we might overlap based on the conversation we had before the show.
Yeah, so I'll let you keep Hughes, and I'll let you break it down, because you're going to break it down more than I'm going to break it down. Okay. I feel like Reed still isn't getting any ownership. He was popular last week, right? Does this course fit him better?
I think it does. I mean, if I'm going the narrative of I don't give a shit what you do I had a top 40 bet on him, and I was sweating that most of the weekend. Like, it was there. He just did the same thing he did the PGA. He just blew up towards the end of his round, and like he cleans that up a little bit. Look, irons were still okay. Like, just on the short term at least, still in the scrambler putter. Like, literally the blueprint of I don't give a shit what you do off the tee. I just care about what you do with the other stuff. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't weight sand saves as much as I do, but he's number two in this field with sand saves, right? Yeah. So that's probably getting out of the bunker, giving him a 7-foot putt, and he drains that 7-foot putt where most guys aren't going to, right? So listen, I like him, and if I'm still going to get him at sub 10, this is somebody who, I don't know. I always fall into the trap, but I'm just going to keep riding it right now. I was on him last week at a little bit of a longer number, but a much stronger field. Why would I not be back with him again, low ownership with the same number? And then this is just a play my guy, because none of the stats look good, but Thigala fucking looked good over the weekend. He looked real good. And listen, like, if I'm going to get him sub 10 as well, right next to the fucking dusty ass Justin Rose and my other guy, Vegas, who completely fucking blew up on Sunday. I like Thigala. Like, he's, I don't know, and I know his numbers, like scrambling, don't look good, but every time they showed him on TV over the weekend, like, he was getting up and down, he was grinding his ass off, he did good. Like, I mean, he gained almost 6 strokes on approach.
His scrambling numbers are okay.
Well, yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, I got him gained 0.2 over his last 50 rounds. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so I don't go back. It's like, I don't wait.
All right, well, he's gained half a stroke over his last 12.
Correct. Right. So it's fine, but it seems like it kind of goes back and forth, right? Like, he'll go.
I mean, he's been going back and forth ever since we came.
He's a young kid. I know.
Yeah, he's got a really high ceiling. He had good finishes at Phoenix, good finishes at Valspar, good finish last week, and then he's got a couple of miscuts. Like, young kid, he's still figuring it out, but he's got a lot of talent.
Huge talent. And so if I can get a good number on him betting, at least relative to this field, and if I can get him sub 10% in 8K when I'm not comfortable with the 9K range, like, I might just play Reed and Thigala and then just start picking my poison down low in the low sevens, high sixes.
Okay. All right. So you did not pick the other guy I like, because I like Reed. That was one I liked. Okay.
And you like Hughes?
Yep. I like Hughes. Well, there was one more I liked.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had three guys I liked. So I like Hughes. So, I mean, if you just want to go like low hanging fruit, like, again, like, I'm going for the narrative, okay, I don't give a shit what you do off the tee. He's atrocious off the tee. But been hit his irons a little better lately. Like, I know he did well at TPC Potomac, gained over a stroke there. His irons well last week at Memorial for a T37 finish. I know you say he's not a good bunker player. Just overall good scrambler, because I think he's just a good putter in general. That's kind of the formula I'm looking for this week. Tends to play well. I mean, like, his last two Canadian Opens, 2018 was at Glen Abbey, T8, 2019 T14, Hamilton Golf Country Club. I like the Hamilton comp to this place.
And only 5% ownership.
Yeah, and only 5%. Like, everybody's going to have and everybody's going to Connors. Like, I like Hughes this week. He's had a lot of good finishes at, like, some plotter golf courses, like, RSM and, there's a PJ National, there's a lot of these types of tracks, like, shorter tracks I like with Hughes. Like Brendan Todd too. Hey, good call at Colonial. I kind of poo-pooed it. But I feel like, listen, like, I think a lot of things you do with Colonial is the same as what you're going to do here. It's target golf off the tee, small greens, don't really want to be in the rough. I mentioned earlier that I like Sam Burns because, some TPC Southwind stuff. Well, Brendan Todd, I think he had the lead going into Sunday in like 2020, I want to say. Another like real nerdy golf architecture thing I want to talk about too.
Okay.
So the guy who designed this is Stanley Thompson. He tutored Robert Trent Jones. And actually, I was listening to a podcast today on the Friday. They were talking about, because it said in the description, Rochester, New York. And Stanley Thompson actually hired Robert Trent Jones to build Midvale Country Club here.
Uh-huh.
So long story short, once I made that connection, I'm like, all right, I see a little bit of Robert Trent Jones, like kind of like fingerprints type place in this place. And Brendan Todd won a Robert Trent Jones and Port Royal, the Marina Championship.
Okay.
So maybe there's a little bit of connection there. I just like him kind of these plodder, shortish courses where, he's been hitting his irons a little better, getting up and down, making a lot of putts, good bent grass putter too. I like him. And I guess my fade is kind of the same reason I don't really love Keith Mitchell in the 9,000 yard range. Johnny Vegas, same thing. I feel like he's priced this way because he's a 2-time winner of the Canadian Open, but that was
not his course.
His course. Again, most of his damage is off the tee, and I think that's kind of neutered a little bit this week. Iron's been trending down a little bit, not the best scrambler, really dodgy with a putter too. Yeah, and like you said, his results lately haven't been all that great. I know he was kind of in the mix he wasn't really in the mix, but he was up there, and then he bombed on Sunday.
Bombed the fuck out, exactly.
Yeah. Not quite Cam Young style, but
oh my fuck, dude, did you want to talk about a top 20 bet that got fucking destroyed? He was, I think I lost Reed too. I think I put him on my card, but I didn't actually follow through with the bet. But I think he was my only miss in my positionals, which he poo-pooed on your solo show, by the way. So, Kirk, I miss Kirk too.
Yeah. So whatever. Anyways, so I guess Vegas, not really my cup of tea, but yeah, no. I like Reed, I like Hughes, I like Todd.
I feel I'm much more comfortable in the 8K range than the 9K range.
I mean, do I have some of Rasmus Højgaard? Does anyone care?
So he's the good one though, right?
He is the good one. He's the more consistent one of the two. He did well at Valero. He had a top 20 finish, but
you can keep your euros. I'm good.
Look, $8,300. I think I'm gonna pass.
He hasn't missed any cuts though, has he?
Not in a while, but that just seems cute. I don't know. I think.
Listen, I'm fine with it. I'm not fucking playing with it. It's fine though.
All right. $7,000 range. This is when it starts to get ugly.
So ugly.
Do you want me to jump in first?
No. Let's go. So I got a couple questions. So
okay, I'll try and answer as best I can.
So it's not like so the first one, are we buying Perez? Are we buying Pat Perez?
God.
I mean, do we
have to? I remember making this comment, I think it's Phoenix. The Pat Perez train eventually comes to an end. Do we have one more week of him?
I don't know. He's out of the last 24 rounds, he's number one in this field around the green.
He's been great.
He's been insane. He gets in trouble off the tee. I mean, it's 7,600. It depends on how chalky he's going to be, right? This course fits way more than Memorial did.
So I think he's one of the few guys who played this course back in 2010. He missed the cut by a mile, but that was 2010.
Right.
12 years ago.
So, Jesus Christ, how young was he then? He was just a young kid.
Is he 45?
Oh God!
This is 33 back then. No, he's been around for a while. I think just again, if I'm fitting in the mold, I don't care what you do off the tee. I just care about your iron play, your scrambling and putting. Like he does well, so he's plotter courses too. Did well at Colonial. Did okay last week. Why can't he do well this week? Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. And then so I played this guy last week a lot. It was a late ad for me. After digging in. And he missed the fucking cut. But I don't really mind the play still. Adam Long at 7,800. He does some things well, not all things well. Nobody in this range is going to do everything well. Okay. This is a garbage field and we're down in the 7,000s. He's not great out of the sand. He's mediocre around the green, but his approach game is pretty strong. And that 150 to 175 range, he's real strong. So I don't know, man. I played him last week. I liked what I saw in the stats to play him last week, and then he just bombed out around the green and lost 3 strokes putting. So I think I'm going to go back to him again this week. Hopefully I can get a little less ownership than what's projected right now. But he was a late ad for me last week. I didn't talk about him on the show at all, but later in the week when I was digging and shit, he ended up being my second heaviest or third heaviest, $6,000 play. So I think I'm going to go back to him. And then what about your boy Sabatini? Right? Isn't this type of course? right?
Do we want to go one more week on him? He has. So here's the thing. I looked at him. He hasn't missed a cut in a while. Like, he's due for a missed cut.
Okay. All right, fine. I mean,
that's just a gut call.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, technically, why did he withdraw at API?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. Because maybe his fucking, his haberdashery was closed and they couldn't get a nice hat. he's good around the green, man. His approach game blows. But yeah, listen, I can skip him. I wanted to get your thoughts on him. Like, there's no way I'm playing Poston. I just can't. Like, I don't know. He's your guy now. I can't deal with him. What about Smotherman just on the talent? Like, I feel like he does all his damage off the tee, though, right?
I mean, he's still hitting his irons okay. I mean, the scrambling's been pretty bad.
Yeah, real bad.
Potter's been coming around, though. Like if you combine, look, nobody's going to be perfect. Like, what I did was I combined iron play around the green putting. So, look, if we can compensate some other areas,
yeah,
it'd be okay.
Okay.
So he's good in 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
What about Duncan? I know I'm just taking over at this point, just throwing out fucking things. Why, dude? I mean, look, he's made those past two cuts around the green. He's okay. His approach game is pretty solid.
He's gonna miss a cut. Yeah, I know he's made two. He's gonna miss a cut.
I mean, look. Once again, we're dealing in.
I know
the bottom here, but I mean, 12th at RBC Heritage. Pretty good. Pretty good. His name is Tyler Duncan. Like, it's pretty good. 12.
I think I'm going to pass on Tyler Duncan.
All right.
Bad scrambler, bad putter. That just didn't fit my mold.
Okay. Fair enough.
All he had was the iron game, and that was what I was looking for.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Who do you like on it?
All right. I mean, I guess I'm going to put through Pat Perez. Is Emilio Grillo kind of getting back?
I have too much scar tissue, man.
He's made 3 straight cuts. Like, that's a dude. Like,
he's made 4 straight cuts.
Is it 4 straight?
4 straight.
Okay. Trust like,
me. I had him starred, and I was like, no Griot for me.
Look, like, of the guys around him, he's better if he's back. Like, he's clearly better than all these guys.
Great.
Like, he's Matt better Walsh. Than Nick Taylor. He's better than Fratelli. He's better than Martin Lehrer. He's better than John Ha. He's better than, the course of Matt Wallace.
Oh, what happened?
I remember last year, I think I liked him for the Zozo. Like, he had a brief period where, like, I thought he went to Vegas and got with a swing coach and got everything back, and then it went complete shit again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's terrible with him. And I've been tracking his Euro stuff, too. It's even worse.
It's not good. Yeah, it's not good.
It's even worse over there. I guess I kind of like Rio if, like, he eats up these plotter golf courses. And if he's playing halfway decent, you know, like, he's actually been scrambling pretty good, too, lately as well.
Yeah.
I can kind of dig that.
Terrible out of sand.
That's just in general. I'm looking at, he's gained 0.4 around the green over his last 12 rounds. So basically in this little hot stretch.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, he gained, what, 4 last week?
Yeah.
Lost 4 on approach.
I know. His iron play has been kind of dodgy. That's
his putting weird. His putting is Griot, losing 2 and 3 strokes over the last two.
But
the last two.
I feel he's making cuts. I feel like he's getting close because he missed like 10 straight cuts.
1, 2.
Like, it looked like he's over 6.
So he missed before the Mexico Open. He missed 4.
A lot.
6 out of his last 7 events.
Yeah, it was really bleak for Griot Island. So I don't know. If he's back, I think he's better than all these guys.
Yeah, I bet agree wise. Yeah.
I know Peter Molnar, he's missed the cut in his last 2, but that's a guy who just gets up and down, and he does hit his approach shots under 175 at least decently.
He's kind of broken, isn't he? What's he been doing?
No, he played well at Byron Nelson.
Yeah, what did he do, though? Like, what was he doing well?
He scrambles well and he putts well.
Fine.
Yeah, and, like, he's atrocious off the tee, but if that doesn't matter this week. All right. I'm grasping for sure.
Yeah, dude, listen,
like,
we're all picking dog shit down here.
That's listen, like, I'll agree with Smotherman. I think his ownership's a little high because he's continually gets pumped up, but I think that's fine. May I go back to Steven Yeager? He burned me at Colonial, but...
Me too.
But again, like, a guy who gets up and down, like, at least recently he was hitting his irons up until Colonial. He was in them okay.
Yeah. Why is JJ Spahn almost 13% owned?
I don't know. I think people don't realize that his last event, he pulled out with a back injury.
Yeah.
So that's not great.
That's great. Fucking sweet. Load it up.
Okay.
load it up. Let's just move
on.
Don't tell
Nick,
me.
Nick Hardy, I was surprised. So if you want to go to the betting board, I saw in one book he was 80-1. Another is 250. I was like, why is he 80-1? So he finished second in some Korn Ferry event. I'm like, oh, like that's why. Yeah. He did play well in his U.S. Open qualifier today. Like, maybe he's playing good. Like, that's a guy who, like, I think people were expecting him to be really good.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a stud. Yeah.
Like, I think he was on one of my fantasy teams. He's done nothing all year. Like, the fact he's playing a Korn Ferry event last week, that's no bueno.
Listen, at least you pick a guy who had his cap. Not like me.
That is true. How's Justin Suh working out for you?
I have no idea.
I don't have any Scotty Scheffler, so
I just...
Well, here's the thing. On one of our main teams, I have Matthew Wolf, and he's basically doing the same thing as Justin Suh. And that's a team in the top 10, by the way.
Oh, are you in top 10 on that?
Yeah, but we're losing Taylor Gooch. That really hurts.
Ooh, yeah.
We're going to take a big fat zero, unless he wins a major.
Yeah, he might win a major. You never know.
Maybe he wins the U.S. Open next week, but that hurts a lot, and having Matthew Wolf hurts a lot.
No shit.
And Scottie Scheffler's not going to win 4 out of 8 tournaments. So, all right, back to this. I'm kind of grasping for straws at this
point. Yeah, whatever it is.
Those are generally the guys I kind of gravitated to in this range.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we'll take our last ad break and dumpster dive and announce the big guest tomorrow night. So, Athletic Greens. That's who we're brought to you by, and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients support your gut health, your nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, basically all the things. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. And AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. So, listen, did you guys know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without the added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other private prying eyes. And that's why I use IPVanish to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means your private details, passwords, communications, history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices, including your Fire Stick. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online without using IPVanish. And they're offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. It's super easy to use. All you got to do is tap one button, and you're instantly protected. So, and you won't even know it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, search, and buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And use promotion code SGP and claim your 70% off savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP.
Real dumpster diving. I'll give you a break.
Thanks, buddy.
actually, I had to find a guy down here I really like. Adam Shank, $6,900.
My man.
Yeah, your man.
No, my man, I got him too, yes.
Okay,
let's go.
There you go. Listen, gained 1 billion strokes teetering last week, lost 1 billion strokes putting. Ever since he's been getting back up north in some of these northern ryegrass golf courses with deep rough and everything like that. He's been playing a lot better. T9 at the Wells Fargo, TPC Potomac, T26 last week, the Memorial. You know, listen, the iron's been pretty good. Good bent grass putter too. A little concerned about the scrambling, but listen, like nobody's perfect down here. So I like him a lot.
No one's close to mediocre down here. So no, let's get the perfect off.
I mean, Michael Gligich has been okay lately. Listen, I mean, I got the Canadian narrative, but he's $6,600 and he doesn't really have a lot of ownership. He's just been, I mean, he hasn't played since the Byron Nelson. That's a little concerning, but he's made last four cuts. Well, last three cuts. I don't count the zero. The T24 in Mexico, T37 in Wells Fargo, T73 in Byron Nelson.
That's
not great.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's not bad for
that's good for down here, man.
I mean, basically, he's been doing mostly on scrambling.
Perfect.
Iron's been okay. They're trending up. I'll take that.
All right.
I just
wrote his name down. So right.
Anybody else down here?
Expect me screaming at you on Thursday.
Justin Lauer had
that's my man.
And then missed a cut. He played terrible last week.
Yep.
Before that, he had like a T-64. I think Mexico T-31 at Wells Fargo.
I feel like he's longer off the tee, and that's why I picked him that week.
Yeah.
I mean,
T-31, TPC Potomac, although that turned out to be a bomber's course.
Mm-hmm.
A great fit.
But. Yeah, I passed on him.
Okay. I mean, those are really the only guys.
All right. I'm going to ask you about something called David Skins. Do you know anything about David Skins?
I mean, I know he's basically a really poor man's Peter Malnati.
Right? But here's the deal. He sucks off the tee, but around the green, he's okay. And
he's fine.
Yeah. And he's made 3 out of his last 5 cuts.
Okay.
Like 6,400. You can certainly do worse. And how about Bryce Garnett? Mm-hmm. T15 at the Byron Nelson, T33 at Mexico Open. The field was stronger at Mexico, I feel like, at this point.
Technically it's a coastalish course because it's right on Lake Ontario. Well, it's not right on Lake Ontario, but it's near Lake Ontario.
You guys get the lake effect, right? Isn't that what happens?
Well, actually, they don't get the lake effect.
They don't?
No, they're on they push all the snow to us.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for Toronto. So, and look, around the green, he's 15th in this field, fucking proximity 150 to 175, 13th out of this field at 6,700. Well, I'm looking for something, anything to grasp straws down here. Give me some Bryce Garnett. I wanted to play Hickok, man. Really did.
He's been awful.
I know.
He's been bad.
I know, man. But this is a guy who I've constantly rooted for since he lost to Goober.
I know. And by the way, tragic story with Goober. Coming back from the hip injury, he was not competitive last week.
No, of course not.
Oh. I know.
First of all, if somebody made the joke on Twitter. It was Swafford finally just went to live because he was sick of being mistaken for fucking Harris English. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
I was like, that's a perfect tweet. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm rooting for Hickok. I think I'm going to find a way to get something on him. I don't know. I'm going to will this guy to be good again because I really enjoyed rooting for him that weekend.
Okay. Well, that's Sung Kang, your boy. That's always your binky down this range.
It's not
too ugly for you?
Too ugly for me, man. It's too ugly for
that
me.
That says a lot.
I was thinking about Ryan Hart. Well, no, he's 7,300. I went to Luke Donald last week too, and he fucking kicked me in the balls. But whatever. Sand saves, 11, around the green, 12, approach 15th in this field. He could do a hell of a lot worse. So, I mean, I'm thinking about him, between him and Shank, or my guys at 6,900, I'll probably just end up playing them both and splitting it.
How about Wesley Bryan?
Mm-mm, no.
How about Satoshi Kodai or Brian Kirshner's boy?
Yeah, nope. Well, thank you.
I think I'll pass on that. Although, Kodaira made the U.S. Open today. He got through qualifying.
Oh, nice. Good for him. Good. So now he's focused on next week and not this week, so definitely not.
No, I think we actually tried to do that narrative last year, Congaree. That did not work out well for us.
That's true.
I think we're like, all right, they are going to the U.S. Open. No, that didn't work out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Fuck, am I going to have to play Kodaira now? Why would you say that?
I don't know. He just was there.
I feel like you just like to put poison pills in my brain to watch me spit out over the week.
Listen, you know, you're going to do that to yourself when you
start at
3 in the morning with a couple of gin and tonics and
I don't say your
150, entry, MME. Yeah.
Listen, I'm much better at the Excel spreadsheet now. That shit is done by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock Eastern.
You want to do outrights? You want to go to outrights?
No, let's save it for tomorrow.
Save it for tomorrow? Okay.
Save it for tomorrow.
We're on a tight deadline. Let's do one more break and then we'll wrap
up. No, I already did them both. I smashed them together to make sure.
Oh, okay. I was not listening.
That's shocking when hosts aren't listening.
All right.
So tomorrow night, big guest, man. So if Pat Mayo is the godfather of this stuff, that means we got Sammy the Bull coming on tomorrow night. We got Jeff Feinberg coming on tomorrow night to break down some betting stuff with us. Super excited. To have him on. I'm sure we'll get some hot Chargers takes and maybe some live stuff too. So, that's the big announcement. Steve, you got anything else?
No, I mean, I'm actually worried when he finds out I'm a Giants fan based on some of his comments about Eli Manning and how that all went down. But you know what? I'm probably going to flatter him because I'm a big fan of Justin Herbert. I really like him a lot. So
yeah,
I'll butter him up.
And I'm a Patriots fan, so I've literally ripped his soul out. Okay. So
this might be the first and only show we do.
No, I'm not a dick about it. Like, my boy Decker, fucking friend of the podcast, fucking Justin Decker, fucking San Diego Superchargers. That guy, I break his balls all the time about it. We're good. Good natured about it.
Okay. Yeah. No, we're very much looking forward to having Jeff Feinberg. I'm very excited to break down.
Yeah, me too.
This term with him.
Me too. Now I finally get a guy like me on, right? A little more gut handicapping, breaking balls a little bit. Not too worried about agronomy. stuff like that, I think I'm going to feel a little more comfortable instead of
I'm
just.
I'm going to be outnumbered here.
Oh, for once, let's go. Yes.
I got nothing else. Yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow, and we'll tune in then.
Yes, we will, because we'll be on the show. So we will absolutely tune in. So, all right, other than that, Big Bet show tomorrow. I'll try to come out with some more stuff on Wednesday as far as like paring down on some of the DFS stuff. Like what I whittled it down to. But other than that, fucking let's go, baby. Canadian Open next week, US Open. Let's fucking go.